Well, the majority of this month in the church is about preparing for the new life that we are given through Jesus, through his life, death, and resurrection. Advent is our continued prayer that God will come to us in our brokenness and in our need, bringing life and hope to a suffering world. And often as we experience God coming into the world, we experience that in the world that we find ourselves in. We're not just magically transported away. And so our readings for Lent, or our readings for Advent, reflect that, starting with week one, where we hear the intertwining of hope and lament. And last week, we hear about the connection between peace and justice. And this week, what I see our readings being connected by are the contrast between fear and joy, or the connection between fear and joy. And I hear that in all four of our readings. And I'm particularly drawn to our reading from James, which describes the patience of a farmer. And as some of you know, my last call before moving here was in the wheat belt of the inland Northwest, and I was living in a small farming community, and almost everyone who was a part of my church was somehow connected to the wheat crops. Either they worked at the granaries and they did the weights and the measures and the sales, or they were owned the land, or they rented out their land, or they drove a truck, or somehow they were connected to either the failure or the success of that year's wheat harvest. And this time of year, it's all about patience and waiting. They say about the early rains and the late rains, and there's so much in the year that can go wrong with the wheat harvest that I learned about. You can get too much rain too early. You can get too little rain. You can get too much snow or not enough snow. It's so dependent on the climate. And over the years that I worked there, we had terrible windstorms that would come through, and the farmers would be white-knuckled if their wheat had time to germinate and get enough roots to stay in the ground, or if it was going to blow away. We had fires that tore through the region. We had droughts that went through the region. And every year it was during the wheat harvest, there was this idea of both joy and fear, of even as you're loading the wheat into the grain silo, into the grain elevator, like, is it gonna make it? And the joy of seeing it there. It actually reminded me a lot of childbirth. And if you've ever been around small babies, just the joy, but also the fear of holding that baby, the complete vulnerability that you face when you have a tiny person that is in your life is reflected in our readings. And is great to be thinking about as we look forward to the incarnation of Jesus on the 25th. We also see that in the story of Mary. So today for our canticle, we hear Mary's song of praise, her Magnificat, where she says, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord." That's coming on the heels of her receiving the news that she will be the God-bearer, and the fear at seeing the angel. So again, we see this fear and this joy connected. And also with our reading in our gospel lesson, John the Baptist is someone we were introduced to in our last week's reading. He is the one who was baptizing in the desert, who baptized Jesus. And then we get kind of a textual jump. We jump a few chapters. And so what we don't hear is that immediately after he baptized Jesus and Jesus went off to do his ministry, John is imprisoned. And so he does not get to see for himself the work that he was preparing for. And so he has this moment in prison where he sends word out to Jesus to say, "Are you the one? Is this what life is like? Just tell me that we're on the right path." And Jesus, in his usual fashion, does not reply with a straight yes or no, but says, "This is what I am doing. I am healing the blind, the lame are walking. You tell me if I am the one." And that is the word that John needs to hear in that moment. And in our reading from Isaiah, The prophet is describing the return from captivity in Babylon, which is just very present to the people, that they are living under an oppressive regime and longing for the day when they will be free. And so he envisions what that freedom will look like and how the desert will bloom and how there will be joy. But it's joy that people are experiencing in the midst of fear. Again, they are mingled together. And I think that our artwork for this Sunday, so if you haven't been here before, we're doing this series of artwork to accompany our readings. And so if you want to turn to the front of your bulletin as I'm speaking, you'll see that we have a very vivid artwork this Sunday. Every week we've had a different artist who's contributed artwork. This one is called Wilderness Blossom, and it's by someone named Lauren Wright Pittman. And she describes the picture in this way. Hope is difficult to come by these days. The wilderness seems to expand towards the horizon with no end in sight. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. And that's from Isaiah 35. And she continues, how does one cling to the non-existent, vibrant purple petals of a crocus flower as they crouch in a barren and dusty wasteland? How does one reach for the cool relief of clear springs in a land parched and haunted by jackals? And she continues, have you ever looked through a kaleidoscope? A kaleidoscope doesn't expose your eye to anything that isn't there. It takes what is in view and with light and mirrors creates a new, dynamic, luminous image. The overlapping novel perspectives, light and movement, transform the mundane and even the unappealing subjects into vibrant, dancing masterpieces. Now, how does this relate to the text? She says, I think it's possible that when we face difficult seasons that seem unending, if we immerse ourselves in the light of voices of the prophets, move to a new vantage point, and try new perspectives, we just might be able to see the wilderness bloom. In this image, I chose a few of the many vivid visuals from the text and created a kaleidoscope of sorts. Starting in the center, crocuses bloom. The weak hands are strengthened, eyes are opened, and bodies leap with joy. The burning sands become a pool, and swamps are formed, and the light of gladness radiates from the entire composition. We need prophecies like this. And please don't get me wrong, there are certain seasons of disappointment, devastation, and grief in this life, but we need not make our homes there. We could choose to shy away from such optimism during a particularly difficult time while getting endlessly lost and settled into apathy and despair. Or we could choose to see a better way and hold fast to the stories of joy that is to come. And that's from Laura Wright Pittman, who did today's artwork. So you can see how it's very simple images, but they are in that kind of kaleidoscope look. And that's one of the things that we're drawn to in the season of Advent, is this idea of transformation, but also that it's not a brand new world, it's looking at our world in a transformed way. And so it's finding that hope in the midst of lament, finding that peace in the midst of the world seeking justice, and to find that joy in a world that can be fearful. So how do we abide in those spaces? And one thing, again, with our reading from that this is about, this picture is about, is from Isaiah, is that the prophet is able to envision a holy way where everything is more alert and more joyful and more vibrant. And I believe that that is something that we're called to, as Christians, to go out into the world and see how do we find that joy, that vibrancy, and that alertness when this can be a season that is so emotionally fraught for many of us. And what choices can we make each day to bring forth God's holy way, to be a part of preparing that way as John the Baptist did, as Isaiah did, to share joy in the midst of fear? We can go out and tell what God has done, because the good news is here. Can you see it? Can you perceive it? That the good news has come to save and to give life abundantly this day and in the days to come. Thanks be to God. Amen.